Welcome to the Culture Quarter with Adam Coleman. Adam Coleman owns and runs one of Ireland's only deliberately developmental organisations. At the time of launching HR Locker, Adam did not realise what a DDO was. But after having created his ideal company culture, a friend and consultant from a major firm in Ireland informed him that he had indeed just created one. Adam had crafted his ideal work culture for himself, his family and his employees at HR Locker. We at HR Locker have persuaded Adam to finally document and record his lessons learned so that he can inspire and guide other business leaders so that they can build their dream company culture. Welcome to the Culture Quarter with Adam Coleman. Why do you think that companies who've been operating remotely throughout COVID are choosing to bring people back to the office now?
It's a hard one to answer, Ronan, to be honest with you, because each situation is different. If you've not chatted to your employees, each of them, is one situation. Or if you've done an announcement or a survey, that's another situation. Or maybe you've not talked to them at all. So it really depends on the situation and what has been communicated to the employees. I think the second part of your question was what could happen, right? And, you know, it could lead to increasing your employee turnover if you're not listening to them. It could unsettle your team. It could create a us and them culture. So if you're not communicating to them, these are all serious problems that you might have to deal with. And at the end of the day, trust is the new currency. So if people have been working at home and you've trusted them to do it for 2 years, why has that changed?
For companies who have gone out there and it's just a blanket statement, they're going to go back to the office after COVID because that's what they used to do, and they're ignoring completely the fact of what's happened post-COVID, that their employees have proven themselves. What really about those companies? Why would they be wanting to bring people back to the office?
I'm not sure, but I think it's a grave mistake. But here's a few ideas. Why people want to bring people back to the office. People don't like change. People don't like to lose control. Some of the people might have to justify the spending of a very expensive real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they've actually polled their employees and are going with a democratic approach, not a meritocracy approach. And they're deciding, okay, well, over 50% want to come back, so we're bringing them back. Mm-hmm. Like, these are changing times, and we require to change in our own attitudes and practices, and we really, really need to keep on the ball on the way things are going. And the one way around it is that talk to each individual, give them a voice, and don't hide behind anonymous surveys. And that's for both the employees and the employers. Mm-hmm. If you're unhappy with coming back to the office, say it. You know, yeah. It's really that simple.
Could it be a case whereby some people stay remote and some people go to a hybrid style of model? Or would you say it's maybe better if everyone's doing the same thing?
Well, I'm going to say it's better if everyone's doing the same thing. But like, that's utopia, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, even in HR Locker, everybody is remote working. But there were people who were working hybrid. And when we spoke to them, they have the option to come into the office every now and then if they want to. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's gone from a situation where there was 12 people coming into the office every day to where there's now 3 people coming in 2 days a week. And that works really, really well. But on the other hand, we don't offer that solution to the guys who are living in England. They don't. There's no office over there, so they can't do that. So then what we do to mask that and help that, we basically run, you know, on-site and off-site events once every 6 months, mm-hmm. You know, and we also make an effort and have sort of a company fun couple of hours every month, mm-hmm. Specified specifically by the employees, you know, mm-hmm. And it's changing times, you know, it really is changing times, and companies have to adjust and go with the flow.
And do you think for people working for the last 2 or 3 years throughout the pandemic, they've worked from home, pretty productive, they're happier there. Do you think that they, if they're being called back to the office, will they feel mistrusted, or will there be some sort of a drop in productivity, do you think?
Well, It really depends. It depends. At the end of the day, one of the most important parts of productivity is a thing called motivational fit. It's where the person is motivated to do their job in how the company want to do it at the agreed valued rate. Okay. Mm-hmm. If any of those gets upset, of course, it's going to affect productivity. Mm-hmm. So if all of a sudden I'm doing my job and it's 100% working fine and I'm working from home 5 days a week and I'm not seeing my colleagues and I'm happy with that, and the company says, no, you have to come in 2 days a week, the question is why? Mm. And for the employer to hear why, and for the employer to describe why not, mm-hmm. and describe why they should, and then listen, and it's down to communication again. And you'd be surprised, some people, you know, there's some organizations who have come up and they've said, look, do you know what? We're adamant about this. We're adamant that we want to bring everybody back into the office, right? But they need to assess the risks. They really do need to assess the risks on that request, okay? Or on that instruction. The team or people need to talk to their managers and to make their views heard, do you know? And it doesn't work anonymously. Let people talk, let them be heard. And then employees need to weigh up the pros and cons and make the career decisions. In the words of The Clash, will I stay or will I go? Because at the end of the day, it's about, you know, we talk about HR Locker's MTP, which is making life and work easier for employer and employee and allowing the employee to take control over their own career in company, --, and beyond. And sometimes, you know, to go looking for another job because your employer isn't facilitating the way you want to work, mm-hmm. that's okay, you know?
So going back to the title of the episode, why bringing people back to work will kill your business, that might not necessarily be the case. You're saying it's very case by case and it's very predicated on how you actually approach it.
It's all down to communication. It's all down to listening to what the employees want, listening to their reasons for what they want. And you can break it down in most professionally driven jobs, or I think the term is knowledge-based jobs. People can work from home. There are exceptions, obviously, but, you know, ask them what they, and, you know, be comfortable with it, because you can be assured that if you don't give them what they want, and it can happen, somebody will, if they're good. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes with this, when there is a major sort of like shift like this, what happens is the good people go and the not so good people stay, which is always a risk.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen any companies yourself call staff back to the office post COVID? And have you seen many of them? And secondly, how has it panned out?
I can basically tell you that I'd say 30% of the people who applied to us, we've had a lot of jobs on offer in the last 6 months. And I would say a good 30% of them are basically leaving because of the change in work practices with the employer. In other words, they want them to work in the office again. Mm-hmm. There's a good 30%. And they're willing to take a drop in salary if required, because they've realized through COVID that there's more to life than spending 2 hours in a car each day. Now, I'm sure there's lots of other people who are absolutely clamoring to get back into the office. I know my own daughter, for instance. She works at a tech firm and she's always worked from home, and she likes the idea of going into the office 2 days a week, even though she's been mandated to do that. She quite enjoys it, you know. So I think it really will depend on the demographic of your workforce and the type of work that they're doing.
That sounds like an extremely powerful driver. People are actually willing to change their industry, their career path, climbing their corporate ladder, so to speak, and switch ladders. Very much for that reason and that reason alone.
Sure, I even remember it back in the day, Ronan, when I was working in ESAT Digiphone, and we were building a comp plan and a career plan for the field engineers. And what used to happen, for some reason, we always ended up having jobs available in Dublin. The field engineers would start in Dublin. They'd realize that it was a lot cheaper to live down the country and they had more control over their own life. So therefore, we never had to advertise a job in Donegal externally, or a job in West Cork externally, or in the Midlands externally. All of the new field engineers that came into Digiphone all arrived into Dublin first.
Right, okay.
Not because we engineered it that way, but that's just the way it went.
Are there ever outside influences or stakeholders, for example, potential investors, where they're coming from a background of everyone's in the office and now they, like, I suppose, how should I phrase it? Could a potential stakeholder or potential investor shy away from a company that's going to stay remote post-COVID?
I'd say there are. I just hope I don't meet any of them.
It wouldn't be a good fit, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. No, I think, you know, of course you're going to get people like that. You are going to get people like that. And to be honest with you, it's all about trust and control. And, you know, if an investor is a particularly high control type person, the chances of them actually, you know, investing or wanting to invest in a fully remote company are fairly slim.
So to finalize, when you're saying really the message is communications and asking people how they want to work first, how would you kind of lay that out step by step? Is it one-to-one meetings? Is it training your managers internally to go find that information from their teams? Or how would someone actually go about it, either, I suppose, deciding?
Keep it simple, Ronan. It's very simple. Do a survey, but don't do an anonymous survey. Do a survey where a person has to tell you who they are. Right. But again, that will depend on the type of organization. In HR Locker, we don't do surveys unless people put their names to it. Now, to be fair, that's taken 3 to 4 years to get people up to trusting it. So other organizations may not be that virtuous. Or what's the term? May not be that virtuous as we are on that basis. That's probably the wrong word, Ronan, I think. But I'm struggling here today. It's a Friday late, or it's not Friday even. Like, I don't even know what day of the week it is. I'm struggling so much. They may not be as fortuitous as we are. That's the word I'm looking for. So companies may not be as fortuitous as we are to have such an open, transparent culture and to expect that, and for people to know that if they're not open, transparent, that they're actually missing out how to drive the culture of the business. And we're constantly encouraging them to speak up, you know, constantly. Mm-hmm. And is that a struggle? Of course it is, because as Ray Dalio said, and I would agree with him 150%, there's about 20% or 25%, or I think he even says up to 30% of the population that don't operate in this open, transparent way and who don't want to and will never want to. Mm-hmm. So we look for that when we're actually hiring people. And if they're telling us that they're open, transparent in the hiring process, and then they come in and then they're not open, transparent, they won't last. They won't last any time in here.
Yeah.
But they'll make the decision themselves. Like, it won't be us going, like, you know, oh, by the way, you're fired or anything like that. It'll be more like they'll know themselves. We've already had examples of that in here where we hired 4 sales guys together, and the guy who looked like he was going to probably do the best ended up leaving us after 4 months because he couldn't quite operate the way we operated, because his potentiality for learning wasn't where we wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's, to flip the script a little bit, do you think there's employers going to experience turnover from staff who actually want to come into the office, but the office is no more? It's a completely dispersed company.
Oh, I would presume so. You're asking me to look into a crystal ball there. I presume there's going to be employees as well who can't wait to get back into the office, and the company are saying, no, stay fully remote. And yeah, they will, I'm sure there will be, because it's like dividing the general populace up into psychometric preferences of introvert, extrovert, feeling and thinking and sensing and intuition. Mm-hmm. Of course there is. So I would say, in the true words of Andy Lothian from Insights, I'd say the red yellows will want to come back, possibly. The green yellows will be really caught between being supportive of their families and of their business. And then the blues will just say, just tell us what we want to do, what you want us to do, and we'll make sure it works. So, you know, every preference and the mixture of preferences will bring up different scenarios, you know. Yeah. Age group then, you know, the younger red yellows will want to come into the office. The older red yellows will probably want to stay out partying with their friends, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very demographic and it's very preference based.
Mm-hmm. So as someone who owns and runs a dispersed company, a remote company, remote first company, I should say, you're saying that you have people applying to your company who are being mandated back to the office but don't want to go. They want to go back to a remote lifestyle. So they're in limbo at the moment. They're working in one, but they want to be in the other. Do you think their productivity at work is dropping? Are those people more prone to check out of work until they actually get back into somewhere remote?
Oh, I wouldn't think so. I think their productivity may slouch a bit because they're not meeting their motivational fit criteria. Mm-hmm. But I think most people, you know, call me a glass half full guy, but I think most people want to do the best job they can, regardless of the situation.
Yep. Brilliant. Adam, thanks for your time.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.